So where do we turn? To the one that has all the answers. We'll tackle some of life's most complex issues and discover God's best plan. Why? Because you asked for it.
Good morning, good morning. That boy got two notebooks. We're going to be here for hours. Huh? Just kidding. Y'all, I'm excited about today. I'm excited. I was going over the stuff this morning at the house, and I thought about it all week and what I was wanting to say and how I was wanting to say it. And this morning, I was sitting there putting it all together, and I just sat there in my bed, just eyes full of water, just the goosebumps. I could just feel the Holy Spirit working. So I'm excited about this message. But this message came from an Alabama football game. Roll Tide, everybody. Roll Tide. But I got to thinking, as all you know, Alabama lost to Ole Miss this year. We had five turnovers, give the game away. If there's ever been a game handed somebody, that was it. And then I got to thinking, you know, looking back, they could have done so many things different. They could have run the ball instead of throwing it with the quarterback we got. There's a million different things they could have done, and the outcome would have been different. Well, you know, hindsight's 20/20. And I got to thinking about that thing. I said, you know, that's kind of a lot like life. I said, you can look back at your past. You can look back at your life. And if you could go back, you'd probably change a bunch of stuff. But then you get to thinking about this. Would you really go back and change it? Because the mistakes you made you who you are today. Me personally, the spots I failed in, I failed big. But I've received grace, and I understand grace to a whole new level now because I've made the mistakes. So going back, I don't think I'd change nothing. I'd share Jesus a little bit more because I never did back then. But the choices I made back then made me who I am today. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is your past. This subject is how do I change, correct? Well, it all starts with your past. And that's just what the Lord laid on my heart, so that's what we're going to talk about today. Every single person in this room has a past. We all came from somewhere to where we are right now. Every one of us. Some of our past look better than others. But I guarantee you, just like Clint said, we all have dark places in our past. Every single one of us. But I want to tell y'all a quote. I don't know where it come from. I saw it. But it says, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Amen. Y'all hold on to that. That's good stuff. But we're finna get into our notes. And our first point I'm going to make is, your past doesn't define your future. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. A new life has begun. You ain't got to be who you used to be. The life you used to live, the choices you made, that's the past, y'all. The past is the past. It's over and done with. You've been made new in Jesus Christ. You don't have to keep living the same way. The old Cam Wiggins, he wouldn't be standing up here preaching Jesus today. The old Cam Wiggins, he'd probably come in late this morning, let alone the hungover side. But praise God, I'm not the old Cam Wiggins. I've been made new through Jesus Christ. Where's that bottle of water? I need that water. I'll swallow that knot in a minute, I promise. But thank God for grace, y'all. Thank God for the blood. But like I say, I'm not who I used to be. I'm a new creation. The things I did in my past, the sin I did in my past, that don't dictate my future. I'm redeemed. I'm set free. It ain't about where you've been. It's about where you're going. And as long as you are going to the foot of the cross, you're exactly where you need to be. Daddy told me a long time ago, he said, son, he said, your path, it don't matter how crooked it is. As long as you end up at the foot of the cross, you're exactly where you need to be. And that's what I stand on. And it took me 20 years to get there. But by God, I'm there. And you can get there too. Mr. Mel told me one time, I've shared this before, but you know, it's like the GPS. You have your starting point, your ending point. Well, sometimes you know better than GPS, and you'll get off, take your own road. You get off track, what happens? Recalculating. Brings you back on the right path. Same way with Jesus, y'all. He ain't going to force himself on you. He'll let you go and try your own thing. Well, I can guarantee you now, it don't work. Your way does not beat his way. I guarantee it. My second point. There's no more guilt and shame once you've received Jesus. That's a hard thing for people to grasp right there. Because they want to keep on. They want to hold on. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me repeat that again. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And once again, you're new. There's no shame. There's no guilt. You are a new person. His love for us is far greater than our sin. His love covers all of our sin, yo. And once you've asked Jesus to come into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, and you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, that he was sent here to die on the cross for your sin so that you may have eternal life with him, soon as you confess and believe that, you receive his grace. You receive his grace and what he did. You receive the forgiveness. You don't have to do any rituals. You don't have to sacrifice lizards or whatever you want to sacrifice. You don't have to do that, y'all. You don't have to do anything. Your works don't do it. It's free. It's free. It's freely given. You don't have to earn it. Y'all, but his grace is so much greater than your sin. Second Corinthians, it's not your notes. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. I'll stop right there. Jesus is saying right there that no matter where you are in life, he's talking to Paul here, no matter where you are, I've got you covered. My grace, my love is more powerful than any situation you can be going through. Second part of that verse, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So you're in a bad place right now. You're falling apart. Your stained glass window's got cracks everywhere in it. The bigger the crack, the bigger the hole for the light to shine through. He is strong in your weakness, y'all. For my power is made perfect in weakness. The weaker you are, the bigger he is. Jesus is enough, plain and simple. No matter what you're going through, what you've been through, what you're trying to hold on to, Jesus is enough. He's covered it all, y'all. You're forgiven. You're redeemed, sanctified, set free. There is no condemnation. Stop beating yourself up. There ain't no guilt. There ain't no shame. You got a clean slate. A new start. Once again, your past is in the past. There is more mercy in Jesus than there is sin in you. There is more mercy pouring out of our Lord and Savior than sin is you. Sin in you, not sin is you. I don't care how bad you think you are, what you've done. You may think there's no way I can be forgiven for that. I guarantee you can. I guarantee at the foot of the cross there's room for every single person. Third point. You can't move forward by living in the past. How are you supposed to walk ahead if you stay looking behind you? You're going to run into everything there is to run into. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Once again, y'all, if you're steady looking back, there's no way you can move forward. But y'all, the devil, he'll try his best to tell you that you ain't good enough. God can't use you. Look at your past. Look what you've done. People know you. Ain't no way that you can ever be used. That's a lie from the devil, y'all. He'll try to make you feel like you're unworthy of forgiveness. That's also a lie. I believed that lie. I sure did. I've shared my testimony here before, but I'll go into a little bit of it now. I hit an area in my life where I was living for the world and everything it had to offer. Having fun, big time. That's a lie in itself. Y'all, we all, every single one of us has a void in our life, in our souls, that is made to be filled by one person and one person alone. And that's Jesus Christ. And until you find that, you will shove everything the world has to offer in that void. And it'll never be enough. It will never be enough. You can try it with drugs. You can try it with alcohol, with sex. You name it. You can try to fill it. And it ain't going to be filled until it's filled with who it's supposed to be filled with. Get me fired up here. But I believed that lie. After an awful night, y'all, some of y'all knew the story. It was a bad night. Next day, supposed to go to church, didn't make it. And for about close to 2 months, I ran as fast as I could away from church, away from Jesus, away from the grace. And the whole time I ran, y'all, he's walking behind me. He ain't got to walk real fast because I can't run that fast. But he was walking legs right here behind me. And as soon as I stopped and quit running and give it all to him at the foot of the cross, that's when that grace was poured out on me. And he showed me, it don't matter what you've done, Cam. It ain't about where you've been, it's where you're going. But I believe that lie, and I'm here to tell y'all today, if there's anybody in here that thinks that you can't be forgiven for your past, I promise you, you can. I promise you, you can. But I used to repent for the same thing over and over and over. Not that I was still doing it, but I almost felt like that sin was so big, every time you pray for it, just knock a little piece of it off. That don't even make no sense. I don't know what I was thinking. But once I understood grace, I understood all I was doing was reminding God of something I'd been forgiven for a long time ago. That's the only thing I was doing. He's like, why are you still asking this? That's over. You've been forgiven. That's over and done with. But I struggle with that and struggle with that. But you don't have to keep living in the past. You don't have to keep holding on to the past. It's time to move forward. Focus on the cross. But the way I saw it, it's just like I couldn't be forgiven. And y'all, that's a bad feeling. You feel like you're not worthy to come to church. You feel like you're not worthy to pray. You feel like it's going to do you no good. That is a bad feeling. So if that's anybody here today, I'm telling you, don't believe that. That's a lie from the devil. That's where he wants you. He wants to separate you. He wants to get you away. Because he knows once you realize God's grace, there's no turning back. But you are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, y'all. That blood that was shed on Calvary, your sins are no more. And once you realize when Jesus says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Plain and simple. We make it hard on ourselves. The gospel's easy. It's us that make it hard. But you have a new start. And like I say, you focus on Jesus, you focus on the cross, you realize the life you used to live, that's just ammunition for your testimony to reach out to those people that's going through the same thing. But I can promise you, the plans that God has laid out in front of you are far more greater than the sins you've made in your past. I believe it with all my heart. But I'll just talk about grace, you know. So how? Where's this coming from, this grace and forgiveness, the new start? How is all that possible? It's all about Jesus, y'all. It's all about what he did for us on the cross. It's knowing that he paid the ultimate price for us. He bore our sin, our sickness, our judgment. He put every single bit of that on himself and took it to the grave. But that's where it gets good. Because when he went down to the grave, that's where the war began. The war on sin and death was waged. And on the third day, what happened? He arose in victory. He arose in victory with the keys of death in his hand. Death has no sting over our life. Death has no hold over our life. Sin has no hold on your life. He's defeated. The devil is no more. He ain't getting no stronger. He's beat. He's a defeated enemy. But it's time for us to stand up in the grace and realize that. People need to hear this. People need to hear that the way they're living right now ain't how it's got to be. That the choices they're making, they think, oh, I had a buddy tell me a couple weeks ago, you know how I am, I can't change. You couldn't be any further from the truth. I'm living proof you can change. All of these people in this room are living proof that you can change. But the first thing about change is you got to want to change. You got to want it for yourself. This whole Christianity, what we believe in, you don't get grandfathered in. That's not how it works. You can't be born into a good family and expect, that's a free ride, you know. It's not how it works, y'all. It's a personal choice to receive what is freely offered for you. That's what this whole thing is about, is your choice. And once you make that choice, that's where it gets good. That's where you encounter that grace firsthand. And you realize, I'm not who I used to be. And through the power of the Holy Spirit living in me, you can do great things. You can do great things, y'all. If somebody would have told me 5 years ago, I ain't good with math. If somebody had told me 5 years ago that I'd be standing up here preaching the gospel and leading a youth group, I'd have laughed in your face. Ain't no way Cam Wiggins would have done that. No, sir. I was a good old boy. Don't get me wrong. I was nice to everybody. I'd help everybody out that I could. But being a good old boy don't get you to heaven. Heard a preacher say one time, hell gonna be full of good old boys. Y'all laugh, but that's true. There ain't but one way into heaven. And it don't say be a good old boy. It's good to be a good old boy. But ain't but one name given under heaven to which mankind must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. That's the only way in, man. Promise you. But we got to understand, y'all, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Jesus fulfilled the law. We're under grace. Now, do you use grace as a crutch? Man, it's Monday. We're going to go out this weekend. We're going to get tore down, drunk, roll up, you name it. We're going to do it. And then Sunday, we're going to ask forgiveness. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. Yes, your sins can be forgiven, but you don't go out and deliberately sin just because you know I can ask for forgiveness. That's not really true repentance. What did he say? He did something like, I think he explained it. He said true repentance is it's a decision you make in your mind followed by a change of life. You don't just keep doing the same old thing over and over and over. But y'all, every single one of us, every last one of us, we're on death row. Ooh, it got deep in here. Every one of us on death row. Paul says that the wages of sin is death. Well, I'm already a dead man walking. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm already a dead man. But the penalty for sin is death. The grace of God, he's done sent his Son to fulfill that. He's done took your punishment, your pain, your suffering, your judgment. He's done took that. He's freely opened the door. All you got to do is walk in. All you got to do is believe it. I just can't understand why some people just refuse to grasp that. But y'all, man, God's good is all I can say. God is so good. Just sitting here talking about grace, and that's what really gets me, is just thinking about where my life has been to where I am now. I can't even imagine what the next 5 years hold. But I'm excited. And by the grace of God, we're going to be doing bigger and better things. I got to brag on that youth group real quick, yo. Talking about better things. That youth group, we had... 43 people in youth last week. That's awesome in itself, but this is the good part. At the end of that, we had an altar call. Two girls got saved for the first time, and one girl rededicated her life. That's awesome. But these kids, they understand. They get the picture. They're living it out. They're not just talking about it, they're living it. It's nothing we're doing at the youth. They're living it in the schools, and they're bringing it. They're bringing the kids there, and we can't fix nobody. Cam Wiggins can't fix nobody. That youth group can't fix nobody. But what we can do is show them love and show them grace and introduce them to the one who can. And that's what our job is to do. And that's what that youth group is doing. But it's all about grace, y'all. It's the grace of God that I'm even standing here talking. Just like Clint said, when your feet hit the ground, it's the grace of God you've been given another day. So you need to look through your eyes and see yourself how God sees you. You were spotless before the throne. You were clothed in glory and honor. You've traded in your filthy rags for righteousness when you've accepted Jesus Christ. Why would you not want to have that? I've been reading Revelation, and this ain't on my notes, but we've been reading Revelation. We know how it ends. It tells you how it ends. Why not be on the winning team? I mean, that's a no-brainer to me. But that's just me. But y'all, but Paul tells us, y'all, once again, the wages of sin is death. Every one of us, if it weren't for Jesus, would receive death. But he sent his son to save us. Like I said, you don't earn it, you don't buy it. It's freely given. All you got to do is believe. And I brought this other notebook to read a story to y'all that my dad has. He said he ain't a preacher. He's a storyteller. And he tells a bunch of stories. So this just gives you a visual. I shared it with a youth group. But this gives you a visual of what Jesus did for us. The grace that he did, that he gave at Calvary. This guy had a dream. He said, the first thing I remember is I was sitting on a bench in the waiting room of what I thought was a courthouse. The doors opened, and I was instructed to come in and to have a seat at the defense table. As I looked around, I saw the prosecutor. He was a mean-looking man who snarled at me, and he stared me down. He was definitely the most evil person I'd ever seen. My lawyer came and sat next to me. He was a kind and gentle-looking man who seemed pretty familiar to me. The corner door opened, and there appeared the judge in a flowing robe. He commanded an awesome presence as he moved across the room. I could not take my eyes off of him. He took his seat behind the bench and said, "Let us begin." The prosecutor stood and said, "My name is Lucifer, and I'm here to show you why this man belongs in hell." Then he proceeded to tell the lies that I told, things that I stole, and times I cheated others. Satan told of other horrible perversions that were once in my life, and the more he spoke, the further down in my chair I sank. I was so embarrassed. I could not look at anybody, even my own lawyer, as the devil told of sins that I had completely forgotten about. My lawyer never objected. He sat quietly, not offering any form of defense at all. Satan finished with a flurry. He yelled, "This man belongs in hell. He is guilty of all that I have charged, and there ain't nobody who can prove otherwise." When it was my lawyer's turn, he asked if he could approach the bench. The judge allowed this over strong objection of Satan. As my lawyer got up and started walking, I was able to see him in his full splendor and majesty. No wonder he looked familiar. Jesus was my lawyer. My Lord, my Savior, was representing me. When he got to the bench, he softly said to the judge, "Thanks, Daddy." Then he turned to address the court. Satan was correct in saying this man had sinned. I won't deny any of these allegations. The wages of sin is death, and this man deserves to be punished. Jesus took a deep breath and turned back to his father and said, "I died on the cross so that this man might have eternal life. And he's accepted me as a Savior, so he's mine. He belongs to me. His name is written in the book of life, and that belongs to me too. Nobody can take him from me. Satan still does not understand. This man is not to be given justice, but to be given mercy. As Jesus sat down, he paused, looked at his father, and said, "There's nothing else that needs to be done. I've done it all." The judge lifted his mighty hand and slammed down the gavel. "This man is free. The penalty for him has already been paid in full. Case dismissed." As Jesus led me away, I could hear Satan ranting and raving. "I won't give up. I will win the next one." I asked Jesus if he ever had lost a case. Jesus smiled and said, "Y'all listen to this now. Everyone that has come to me and asked me to represent them has received the same verdict as you. Paid in full." There's a quote here that says, "If men will not understand the meaning of judgment, they will never come to understand the meaning of grace." Until you realize what you deserve, how do you understand grace? I mean, that paints it pretty clear for you. This man was finna be sent to jail, probably death row. But his lawyer, Jesus Christ, "I done paid that price. You a free man." That's like getting up off of death row and walking out the building. Could you imagine? No, I can't imagine, because that's what happened. Y'all, that's powerful. That is powerful stuff. But I just want to let every single person know here today, your past is your past. It don't define your future. You got to let go of some things. You got to quit living in the past, because you'll never move forward. You need to realize that grace covers everything. Everything you've done. No matter how bad you think it was, or no matter how small of a thing you think it was, grace has covered it all. And it was all because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross at Calvary. Man, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, for your kindness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all, that grace is available to every single person in this room. Every single one of you. I don't care how far you think you are from God, or if you feel like you're doing everything right. The same grace you get goes for the man that's living wrong too. Salvation for anybody, y'all. Anybody. And I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. Long as you end up at the foot of the cross, you're where you need to be. It don't matter. Yourself, you can't fix yourself. Ain't no such thing as self-help. If you could do it yourself, you wouldn't need Jesus. But when you realize that you can't do it on your own, and the only way is Jesus, and you accept that, that's where the grace pours out, y'all. That's where you're just covered in grace, the amazing grace that we sang about. My chains are gone. I've been set free. You can have the same thing. You can have the same thing. And y'all, we got people here on the side that would be happy to pray with you. But I want to pray with you too. I want to pray with you. So we're finna have an altar call. And if there's anybody in here that feels like they're far away from God, and you got butterflies turning in your stomach right now, and you feel like you need to make things right, that you need to come back to the foot of the cross and experience that grace that I'm up here talking about, if that's you, please come down. Let me pray with you. If there's anybody in here that's never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please, today is the day of salvation, y'all. It's never too late. As long as you have one more breath to take, it's never too late to receive Jesus. It's never too late to receive the grace that we're talking about. And and forgiveness that comes with it.